You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers, viewers, and listeners to a brand new edition of the Pewter Report podcast, energized by Celsius, the official energy drink of PewterReport.com. It is a Wednesday edition of the show, and we are here to talk about Baker Mayfield. It's been the big topic all offseason long, especially with the Mike Evans deal getting done. So now the Bucs turn their attention to Baker Mayfield, and will he hit free agency? There are a lot of angles to look at when talking about the situation, a couple of variables to it all as well, and we will break it all down. I'm your host, Matt Matera. Joined with me is the face that runs the place at PewterReport.com, SR Scott Reynolds. Scott, how are we doing this afternoon?
Doing good. If it's news, if it's just the facts, reporting, whatever you want to call it, published a story a little bit ago here on Pewter Report, and the story's kind of blown up. You can read it. I just dropped it in the chat. We're going to talk about it today. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them. But it kind of caused a little bit of waves. I've seen on X some posts about the fact that Baker Mayfield's camp opened up with a $44 million request per year. Folks, that's just how negotiations go. Like, they have no illusions that the Buccaneers are not going to, accept that, nor does Baker Mayfield think that they're going to accept that. All right. That's just that's the starting point of negotiations. In any kind of negotiations, whether you're haggling for a car, whether you're in sales, whether you're an agent trying to negotiate a deal for your client with the team, you come in high because you want to make the most money, and then the team's going to come in low. They want to pay the least amount of money, and you meet somewhere in the middle. So it's important that, it's kind of like Jamie Foxx's character, MF Jones on Horrible Bosses, right? It's like, you don't want to come in at $3 million. And then they say no. I'm like, okay, fine. $5,000,
<It's> like, right.
you can't
That's
negotiate.
A great analogy.
Yeah. You can't negotiate that way. Yeah. And if you've seen a Horrible Bosses 1 or 2, Jamie Foxx's character just absolutely
awesome
steals
character.
The show.
Yeah.
But so there's the art of negotiation. Sometimes it takes time. At any point in time, even though we've come out with a report that says that they're not close. Okay. At any point in time, a deal can get done like that. So if a deal gets done tomorrow or later tonight, I don't want to hear any Pewter people say, well, Scott Reynolds said they weren't even close. Okay, well.
Things change.
Things change quickly. Mike Evans told his agent on Sunday night, I want to be a Buck for life. Let's do it, right? That's all it takes is when whether the team accepts the player's latest offer or the player accepts the team's latest offer, that's when a deal gets done. And when does that happen? It happens when it happens. Sometimes it goes down to the very last minute of free agency before a deal's done. Sometimes you have to let the player hit free agency, right? They didn't get a deal done with Jamel Dean or Levante David last year or Carlton Davis. And they let those players hit free agency. It was a calculated gamble. The risk paid off. So We'll see what happens. There's still plenty of time, Matt, before Monday's opening period of that open negotiation part of free agency. And then when deals can get signed on next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, to have these two teams, have these two sides come to the table and agree on a deal.
Yeah, and there's all the incentive in the world for the Bucks to sign Baker Mayfield now, or at least by the start of the legal tampering period for free agency, because the Bucks don't want to go into a bidding war with other teams. They want Baker Mayfield all to themselves. And each free agency situation is different. Like for Carlton and Jamel Dean, Jamel was arguably the best corner on the market. I believe there's maybe one other. Carlton is the situation where there were a couple other options at corner where it wasn't just like, oh my God, we need Carlton Davis and that's about it. Yeah. With Baker, it's a little bit different because outside of Kirk Cousins, Baker is your best pick for any team out there, really, unless you want to go with Russell Wilson. But I would go with Baker Mayfield
for
a couple of different reasons. Yeah. So with those terms, Baker is – the ball is a little bit more in Baker's court, I would say, than the Bucks. Because if Baker wants to pull a Mike Evans and say, hey, I want to be back with the Buccaneers, they can get this deal done by the end of the show.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's true.
If they really want to. But Baker's agent should be asking for the big type of money, because you never know if the Bucks go, all right, we're in, you know, for that high level. But obviously, Jason, Mike Greenberg, they're going to do their due diligence and not allow that number to balloon. So that's what makes it interesting, because we've talked a lot about that the Bucks aren't going to franchise tag Baker Mayfield. They shouldn't. Right. They didn't. They gave that to Antoine Winfield Jr. But that franchise tag would have been $37 million, right,
on
Mayfield?
Yeah.
I do have to wonder, the more that this goes on, if a team – is there another team out there that will pay around that number for Baker Mayfield? I think that's the big not loophole, but that's the big question in all of this.
And you know what? I think that the Buccaneers, in theory, would love to franchise tag Baker Mayfield. Just like they wanted to give Jameis Winston that fifth-year option, right? They wanted to – let's see one more year, right? That they did that with Shaq Barrett. Okay, you had 19.5 sacks. Not expecting you to get that much again, but let's see. Let's see what you can do before we extend your contract. And he won a Super Bowl and chased Patrick Mahomes all around the yard and cashed in, and good for him. But having said that, the problem with that just under $37 million figure is it's static. You can't reduce it. You can't restructure it, right? It's there, and it consumes so much of your salary cap space. So that is the real problem with that, is because he might resign for, let's say he resigns for $36 million. Okay. Yeah. Let's say that's the number, or he gets a deal elsewhere for $36 million. Guess what? Baker Mayfield is not going to be hitting anyone's cap for $36 million in 2024. That number is going to be significantly lower. Just like we saw with Mike Evans, that salary cap number for this year is going to be just over $5 million, not the $21 million he's going to be making. So that's the real problem with that that franchise tag number for quarterbacks. It is so cost prohibitive because it has to stay on that salary cap and consume so much cap space this year.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's always the problem. And you see it from time to time. I guess Russell Wilson's on the mind, but like when the Seahawks were in their prime and they won that first Super Bowl and they lost to New England, they were able to construct such a great team because Russell Wilson was still on his rookie contract, if I'm not mistaken. So when you don't have to pay the quarterback and you can allocate that money to everybody else on the team, you can build a pretty damn good roster. Obviously, still building through the draft is obviously super important. But now it is a good point because some of the other teams out there, we can kind of dive into that a little bit more. But with Baker, what he did last season was awesome. I'm not taking anything away from that. But do you want to sink $36 million into a quarterback hoping that he does that for the next three or four seasons?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know. And I hate speaking like this because I like Baker the person. I like Baker the player. But you got to look at this with a sense of like reality and trying to predict the future to a degree.
Yeah.
And obviously none of us can predict the future, but I think there's certain players, certain positions where you can say, oh, all right, this was better than good. Like, I think right. Jalen Hurts is a really good example. He was awesome 2 seasons ago when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl. And he wasn't even that bad last season. But in terms of the contract and the money that the Eagles gave him, he didn't live up to that contract.
Right.
Can you see something like that happening with Baker Mayfield? I hate to say it, but absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's got to be a really measured effort when trying to find the right deal and the right numbers with Baker.
You're exactly right. And so there's really three components to this from the Buccaneers side of things, and also for Baker. And this is what makes this deal a little sticky, right? Because he had 1 year in Tampa to kind of prove his worth, and he did it, right? 28 touchdowns, over 4,000 yards, NFC South champions, snuck into the Pro Bowl when Dak opted out due to injury, ended up winning a skills competition, the MVP. So, you know, that's an interesting part of the equation is he had a really good year, but it was also a career year. And there's been kind of ups and downs in Baker's career up to this point. So has he turned the corner? Don't know. How is he going to fit in Liam Cohen's offense, which is similar but not the same as Dave Canales's? Don't know. Is he going to stay healthy? Don't know. There's no crystal ball. Jason Light would love to have a crystal ball, right? Because it would make his job so much easier. But the three components are this. It's the average annual value of the contract, the AAV. What is the average salary he's going to be making, right? Is it going to be 30? Is it going to be 32, 36, whatever? The second part is how long is the contract, right? That's important. You don't want a bad deal is one thing. Hanging on to a bad deal is another. And the longer a contract is, especially with guaranteed money, and that's the third component, how much guaranteed money do you give him?
Yeah.
That, if Baker does not pan out, like if this was the best season Baker had and he regresses this year, then that's a sticky situation for the Buccaneers because now you're saddled with a big contract and a lot of dead cap money if you end up cutting him after a year or two.
Yeah.
And so for the Buccaneers, they would love to not pay him a king's ransom, but maybe you do give him a pretty sizable annual, average annual base salary, if you will. But you back down the guaranteed money or maybe you back down the years instead of it being a 4 or 5 year deal. Maybe it's a 2 or 3 year deal. And then it's got some voidable years, attached to it. Or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe it's Baker wants guaranteed money. You do that, but you get Baker at 29 or 30 million rather than 34 or 35, right? So these are the sticking points right here. It's not just how much per year is Baker worth. It's the length of the contract as well as how much guaranteed money, because that's the Bucks escape clause if it doesn't work out.
And I think anything under 30 million for Baker Mayfield, I consider that a win for the Bucks in that situation. And obviously the agent will play a big role in this, but if you're the Bucks, I feel like Baker is a guy you could convince to be like, hey man, like you're tough, grit, chip on your shoulder. You're a guy that wants to earn it. You want to earn everything that you're getting paid. Yeah. So why don't we upload your like AAV and the amount of money you're getting per season is going to be what you earn. And if you keep playing that way, you're going to get every single cent of it and we'll lower down the actual guaranteed money. I know no player would sign up for less guaranteed money, but like, I don't know. I feel like that is an area where Baker would be like, no, you don't think I can earn it? I can earn it or something like that. Just kind of, in an odd negotiating way,
I agree wholeheartedly. I think you're right on target there. The Bucks would love to have this full of incentives, and we even saw some incentives for a proven commodity like Mike Evans, right? But the reason why they put those incentives in there is because Mike's not 26 or 27. He's going to be 31 this year, right? He'll be 32 in the second year of that contract, and then he'll be entering age 33 when that contract is up. So that's why the Buccaneers wanted to safeguard some of their investment by making it full of some incentives. And I'd love to see the same thing with Baker Mayfield. The other thing that I've mentioned here on the show, it bears repeating, and I mentioned it in the article again, go ahead and read it at pewterreport.com. I dropped it here in the chat. It's got a lot more than we're going to have time to talk about in today's show. But the other issues with Baker Mayfield, and there's three of them, just like we mentioned, three for the Buccaneers, there's three for Baker Mayfield. The first is, you know, he is in a reported lawsuit regarding a $12 million investment that went bad. There was, I guess, some fraudulent activity. Baker got taken advantage of, lost $12 million. The litigation looks like it's going to be in Baker's favor. The problem is even if you win a lawsuit, it's collecting, right? That's part of the problem. Is okay, you won, but now when do I get
Tristan
my money?
Tristan Wirfs and Luke Getteke to go rough up the guy. And
I'm all in favor of that. I'm sure Baker would be too, right? Get his own goon squad out there. Number two is, aside from that $12 million that Baker lost, it's not the Buccaneers' fault, but it's just, you know, hey, you want to make up that money. Baker had to take this opportunity in Tampa to play for less, for the opportunity to win a starting quarterback job and play well enough to propel him into this situation where he is now making starting quarterback money again and probably, the, you know, a top 10, top 12 contract. To do that, he had to take less money, the $4 million, which with incentives made it $7.5 million. So
yeah,
you look at the average quarterback salary from the highest of the high to, you know, the rookies on those rookie salaries that they have, about $20 million is kind of the mean. And so if Baker's playing on roughly seven and a half, call it, then he's got to make up about $12.5 million in his mind, right? Of I should have been making this year and I didn't. And the reason why that's important is because, which is the third part, your earnings window as an NFL player is only open for so long. It's only so many years, right? So Baker entered the league in 2018, did sign a nice sizable rookie deal as the number one overall pick. But now this past year had those earnings go way down. And then how long is that earnings window going to be open? Baker was this close to being the next Mitch Trubisky, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Blaine Gabbert, guys that were first-round picks that time had passed them by in terms of the league says you're no longer a starting caliber quarterback, right? And now you're going to hang on for a couple more years with backup money, right? One-year deals, $4 million here, $5 million there. And so when is it, this is probably Baker's last contract. You know, maybe it's not, if it's a 2 or 3 year deal, maybe he'll get one more shot at another big deal, but he's got to cash in right now because tomorrow is not guaranteed. If he signs a 3 year deal and has an okay year this year and then falls off the map in 2025, the Bucs will look to move on. And then now he is in that retread backup quarterback type mode. And those $30 million seasons are gone. He's now probably below $10 million. And so you got to capitalize and strike while the iron's hot. And so I think that's why you've seen Diana Rossini say he's not interested in taking a hometown discount because he kind of did that last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and nor should he. And yes, hometown discount, he's on the team for 1 year. Let's not act like he's this long-tenured player. And he took that deal last season because it was the only deal where he had a shot to be a starting quarterback.
Right.
So, you know, yes, it became a great marriage, but it was like, you know, bit of, you're on the dance floor and you're looking for a dance partner. Both sides need a dance partner. And that's kind of what it was.
Yep.
Let's get to the super chat though. Thank you to Paul Bowen for this $4.99 super chat. Again, a reminder, if you super chat us, we will get to it ASAP. So Cali Bucks, we see yours as well. We'll get to that momentarily. But Paul says, I would like Baker back for the right price, but Russell Wilson looks more tempting every day. Could get him and some free agents for that price. So, yeah, that is the other side of it, which we can explore right now. One, what is the line of, okay, this is where the Bucs draw their line in the sand and won't go over a certain number.
Right.
Now, the Russell Wilson thing is quite interesting as well. If we just take a look at the available free agents, Kirk Cousins, who, you know, there's a lot of talks about him going to Atlanta. Obviously, he's going to have discussions with the Vikings as well. Russell Wilson just got let go by the Broncos, but will come relatively cheap because the Broncos are paying off his money.
Yeah.
Tannehill, Gardner Minshew, Jameis Winston, Jacoby Brissett, Tyrod Taylor, Tyler Huntley, and last but not least, we'll say Joe Flacco. So with the exception of Gardner Minshew, really Jameis, how old is Jameis? He's got to be...
Got to be 29?
Yeah, he's 30, 30? According
yeah,
to...
Yeah, 30 years old. Yeah, I was going to say he's close to 30,
so
if not 30.
Really, outside of Gardner Minshew and Jameis, all these other guys are relatively older. And the Russell Wilson thing is interesting because I'm curious to get your thoughts on this too, Scott. Are the Bucs, with the way their roster is built right now, is it another situation where, oh, hey, they're kind of a veteran quarterback away from being a, I don't want to say Super Bowl contender, but pretty much being a team that can reach the second round of the playoffs again? Or should they roll the dice with a rookie, a younger guy, something like that? Because Wilson would fit that mold of like, hey, you get in a veteran, you can kind of keep this ship afloat.
Right.
But then I also think, well, how do we know this isn't the next Philip Rivers on the Colts or Matt Ryan also on the Colts and that type of situation? So that's kind of both sides that you have to look at.
You're right. And Russell Wilson will be 36 in November, so he's no spring chicken, right?
Yeah.
And
not everyone's Tom Brady. Not everyone continues to be elite well into their late 30s and 40s in Tom's case.
Yeah, I think the sun is setting on Russell Wilson's career. I don't see a lot of upside in that move. At the same time, he's certainly cost effective because the Broncos will be paying the lion's share of that salary. Some team will sign him just because of that reason, right? But you bring him in and you say, Russell, kind of like last year with Baker Mayfield, and this is if things do not work out with Baker Mayfield and he gets a crazy number, $40 million or above or whatever elsewhere, and the Bucs just say, man, we cannot saddle ourselves to this contract for the next couple of years and cross our fingers and hope that Baker will continue to play at this level. But if that happens, Russell Wilson, I'm not a huge fan of the guy, and I think there's some locker room stuff there. He's kind of a bit of a, at least he comes across as a bit of a diva. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that he's a good fit for this culture. But if he were to come, let's entertain that theory for a second. If he comes here, there's no way that you can give him the job. I think what you do is you just make it a three-way battle. All right, Kyle Trask, you're in a contract year. Let's see what you got. Russell Wilson, let's see what you have. And at very least, you can be a veteran backup and get us out of a pinch if there's some danger. And I wrote about it earlier today on PeterReport.com. The Buccaneers, Matt, you were there at the combine with me.
Yeah.
They interviewed five quarterbacks, four of which were formal interviews. That's 10% just about of their allotment. Out of the 45 formal interviews, four were on quarterbacks. Those formal interviews were Michigan's J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix from Washington, the Tampa area kid, Tulane's Michael Pratt, and Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, who had a really good week at the Senior Bowl, actually outperformed Bo Nix and Michael Penix there. And then the fifth guy is from University of Kentucky, Devin Leary, who played last year with Liam Cohen. Didn't have a great year, 25 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The completion percentage is around 56%, but he's kind of a Baker Mayfield-esque guy where he's had some really, really good seasons at North Carolina State, had some injuries. But there was one year, I think he had 35 touchdowns and 7 interceptions somewhere in that mix for NC State. So it's interesting. They could draft another quarterback. I think they should find room for a quarterback this year to compete with Kyle Trask because he is in a contract year.
Yes.
But if this team does decide to punt on Baker Mayfield, which I don't think they're going to, I think Baker still re-signs. Let me make that clear. But let's go down that rabbit hole. If he doesn't, then I think they will draft a quarterback to compete with Russell Wilson if they go down that road, and Kyle Trask. What say you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm in full agreement, Scott. In this scenario where Baker Mayfield is not back with the Buccaneers, I think you go with a Gardner Minshew type. I honestly, like, entertainment-wise...
Yeah, I'd rather have Gardner Minshew than Russell Wilson. I really
would. Yes, yeah. Full agreement there. I mean, even, like, the things of, like, Richard Sherman and... oh, my God, why am I blanking on his name? The running back that says, I'm not here, so... I'm just here so I won't get fined. Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch. Like, they've kind of said that Russell Wilson's a weirdo. And, like, they won together with him. So, if they're saying that, I can only imagine how bad it was in the Denver locker room. Yeah. So, I wouldn't... Entertainment-wise, it'd be amazing. Re-signing Jameis Winston and come back to the Fox, I think, would be hilarious. Tyrod Taylor is a guy that, like, you know, you're not going to build a franchise around him.
Right.
But he's gone to a number of places and has started games and to varying degrees of success. Yeah. He's obviously not going to be a full-time starter. But, like, for 1 year, that type of situation, I think you would have to sign a guy like that. And then, yeah, draft like a Pratt or a Radler, someone like that, and pretty much have a three-person competition between the veteran that they signed, Kyle Trask, who happy birthday to Kyle Trask. It's his birthday today.
Oh.
And then the
rookie. Happy birthday to you, Matt.
Yeah,
how about
thank
that?
You very much. Appreciate
you got
it.
A lot of birthday wishes here
thank
for
you, guys.
As well.
Means a lot for sure. Also, happy birthday to Scott Smith, the Bucks team writer. So,
yeah,
big day for the Bucks community. Paul, a.k.a. Florida Dreamhouse, thank you for this $5 super chat, who says, happy birthday, Matty Diamonds. Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate that for sure. Please tell the chat room to chill with Trask and Wilson talk.
We
Baker
can't do that.
Is $30 to $35 million quarterback. This deal will happen. I hope for the Bucks' sake that it is within that range, because if you get to that 35, after that, I don't know how much further you kind of dig deep when it comes to Baker.
Yeah, unless it's got a really low guaranteed, like where the first year is guaranteed, and okay, you signed him to be the starter this year, so that's fine. That's what Mike Greenberg likes to do is, hey, we're going to fully guarantee you for this year, and then we'll partially guarantee you for next year, right? So, like, I'm fine with that. It's just the first two or three years guaranteed, that's a lot of sticky glue. You're stuck to that guy if you have guaranteed money more than a year or a year and a half, right? Where you just saddle with all that dead cap money otherwise. So I'm fine with that. Cali Bucks, $1.99 super chat. Thanks so much, Cali Bucks. Appreciate it. 2 years. Don't commit to Mayfield past Evans' contract. I'm all in favor of that.
In a perfect world, that makes complete sense, absolute sense. But again, you got to look at it from the side of Baker Mayfield and his team. There's really no reason for him to sign a 2-year deal unless he is fully in the camp of, I'm going to bet on myself again, and after 2 years, get an even bigger contract on top of that. But that is, I think it's a little bit of like biting off more than you can chew in that type of situation. So if I'm Baker, and happy birthday to Clack 5 White, the big 5-0. But yeah, if you're Baker and Baker's team, his agent, everything like that, you want him to sign, I think, at least a 4-year deal, something like that.
Hey, it's one thing if you're Baker Mayfield to move Emily from Cleveland to Carolina to LA to Tampa, but you got a baby on the way, right? You're going to be a dad in a few weeks here. And listen, Tampa's a great place, man. I haven't seen you leave yet, right?
I graduated college in Tampa and I never left.
This is year 29 for me in Tampa, moving here from Kansas. So it's a great place. And you want to put some roots down if you're Baker Mayfield. You want to get out of the condo and buy a house. And if you're going to buy a house, I'm just going to just jump in real quick and do the ad read right now. I'm sure Eric Gross would love to sell Baker Mayfield a house. I'm sure Baker would love that as well, because Eric's a great guy. Folks, listen, if you need a realtor, I'm going to tell you right now, Eric Gross is the guy that you want to have in your corner. You want to trade for him, sign him in free agency, draft him, whatever you got to do. Get Eric Gross on your team, because he is going to not only get you the best value for your home if you're trying to sell it, but if you are looking to buy a house, he is going to try to negotiate the best deal for you. and not just the house, but the neighborhood. That's so important. It's not just the house that you're going to be living in, because it's really a home. It's what neighborhood are you in? What area of town do you want to live in? And that's where Eric's experience comes into play. He knows this town like the back of his hand. He's a Tampa native. His dad was stationed at MacDill Air Force Base. So get Eric on your team, and you can do that really easily. Give him a call. And you want to start the conversation about Tampa Bay football. Talk a little free agency, right? Start there. Get to know Eric, and then you're going to find out that he is going to be your number one draft pick. Give him a call at 513-907-4271, or you can check out the website, housesinfla.com. That's housesinfla.com. You can find Eric in the Eric Gross Group on Facebook and Instagram at Eric Gross Group. And no matter where you are in your home ownership journey, you're going to feel welcome with the Eric Gross Group, the official realtor of Peter Report. Again, visit housesinfla.com.
Scott, I think we should get into a little bit some of the other suitors for Baker Mayfield. Because like we said, this is a bit of a, or could be, I should say, a bidding war. Other teams want Baker Mayfield. So obviously there's one in our own backyard of the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons. And again, it's a little bit of musical chairs between Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, and now I think Russell Wilson. Those are obviously the top three available in this free agency, right? Because if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, well, then Minnesota's saying, hey, Baker, over here, over here, my man.
Yeah.
Those two teams, Minnesota and Atlanta, certainly will be interested in Baker Mayfield. And who knows? There's always like another team out there. There's been like conflicting reports about New England that they're in, that they're not in, that Baker's not interested. So, curious to see how that'll all work out.
Yeah, well, I think one thing is probably safe to bet on, right? Either Kirk Cousins is going to be back in Minnesota or he's going to be in Atlanta, right? One of those two things is going to happen. Whichever team doesn't get Kirk Cousins, and he may not be number one on either one of those teams' board, it might be Baker Mayfield, but the other team is going to want a quarterback. And neither one of those teams, Atlanta or Minnesota, is in position to get one of the top three quarterbacks. And with Atlanta being probably a veteran quarterback away from really contending, maybe even being considered a co-front runner with Tampa Bay to win the NFC South, this team has tried Desmond Ritter. It has tried Taylor Heineke.
Yep.
Do they want to stick another rookie quarterback out there and have Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier have to work with a guy who's going to make some rookie mistakes and have Atlanta fall just short again? I don't think so. I think they're going to go after a veteran. And so it's the double whammy effect. If they can lure Baker Mayfield away from Tampa, it's kind of a death knell for the Buccaneers. Because there's not another quarterback on the horizon that is going to probably play as well as Baker Mayfield would this year, right? So there's that perspective. And then Minnesota, right, if Kirk Cousins leaves, hey, they saw firsthand in week one a Baker Mayfield comeback in his first game with the Buccaneers. And sometimes that makes a strong impression on a coach like Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
So what I would be concerned about is Baker Mayfield has some real leverage in the situation. I don't think he would mind going to free agency, because you know what? He can always tell the Buccaneers yes. If he goes to free agency and the numbers aren't what he and his agent assume they would be, right? And let's say, you know, all of a sudden Baker's like, hey, oh, shoot, man. All right, $30 million sounds good. Tampa, I'm back, right?
You miss me?
Yeah, you miss me? I'm back. So that could be a situation there, but I think it would be Baker's call to make. And if the number is higher elsewhere, then he brings that back to the Buccaneers and say, listen, man, you're putting me in a spot here. I want to return, but man, you need a quarterback. And I got a couple of other suitors here that want me too. How much do you want me? Right? So he can play a little hardball in this instance, I think, and we'll see what happens. But I think Tampa Bay would be hard pressed to. I think they really want to get him under contract before free agency starts, because all it takes is one other team to start a bidding war, and now if you're the Buccaneers, you might have to overpay.
And I feel like a lot of times there's always a report like there's a mystery team out there for player XYZ or whatever the case is. Like, I don't know why the Steelers still want to build around Kenny Pickett other than to prove that they didn't get wrong with that pick.
What did he throw, seven touchdowns last year?
Yeah, I mean, he was abysmal.
I think he's yet to throw 10 touchdowns in a season.
Something like that. And I think he was just bad after they fired the offensive coordinator. So it wasn't even...
Hold on, I got to look that up. That's, I want to be right. I want to be factual about this. But I think I am. I think in two seasons, yeah, he threw seven touchdowns and nine interceptions as a rookie in 2022 in 12 games. Mm-hmm. Sorry, 13 games, 12 starts. Okay. Last year, the same thing. Played in 13 games, had 12 starts. He threw six touchdowns and four interceptions. How are you a starting quarterback in this league and you can't even throw 10 touchdowns in a season?
And that's injury problems. He has injury issues and he doesn't throw touchdowns. That is a recipe for disaster. And it goes back to what we give Jason Light a ton of credit
for. He's 7-5 as a starter in both those seasons, thanks to the defense.
Yeah,
He can't even get credit for the wins.
Yeah, they'll win games like 9-3 and be like, oh my God, like another win for Kenny Pickett. But that kind of goes into what has given so much respect for Jason Light, where if Jason makes a mistake with a draft pick, he cleans it up like right away or like the next season by finding that replacement. You look at the Kenny Pickett situation and you can't help but think the only reason why the Steelers haven't moved on from at least just making him a backup and trying to find another starter
is ego.
Because the ego and the GM doesn't want to say that they were wrong about the Kenny Pickett deal or draft pick, I should say.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett, right? When he started 11 games for the Browns.
Yeah.
And he went 4-7. He wasn't, you know, the answer. He was the placeholder for Deshaun Watson that year. But he threw 12 touchdowns in 11 starts. I mean, you can do it. Like, it's not that hard. I say this with, you know, very little athletic talent, of course. But I think most NFL quarterbacks could probably do better than that. I mean, look at Desmond Ridder last year. 13 starts. Played in 15 games, 12 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, we're talking over double digit touchdowns here, which it shouldn't be that hard to do if you have that many opportunities, right? Yeah. To throw an average of one touchdown a game. I mean, come on.
In today's league, with all the rules slated towards the offense. Anyway, let's get to the super chat. Thank you to Fear Factor 1906 for this $1.99 super chat, who says, are the Vikings a real threat? Why or why not?
Well, I think they are if they, you know, there's a couple other names we should throw out there too, right? There's Justin Fields that the Bears probably want to move on from if Caleb Williams is going to ultimately be the number one pick, which probably should be. So there's Justin Fields. I'm not terribly enamored by him. I think he has trouble with field vision and doesn't always make the right reads. The other guy, we mentioned Russell Wilson, but the other guy is Trey Lance, who's been now recycled from 49ers failure to the Cowboys, and they want to get rid of him, you know, because they're married to Dak. So I don't know. Those are two other players that have first rounds ability. They were drafted in the first round. We'll see if they pan out. Mac Jones, probably another one, right? I'm not a huge Mac Jones fan.
Yeah.
So there could be at least three former first rounders on the move via trade, but I don't know that any of those guys really helps you if you're Minnesota.
Right. Like, there's always that team that goes, oh, we can fix this player. And I think kind of what comes to mind is when the Carolina Panthers had Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold both on their team.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey,
one of these guys should pan out, right?
Yeah. Nope. New change of scenery, get looked at by a different coaching staff and a new offense. And no, you pretty much get the same results.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, Baker was able to turn it around. So there is always those examples of, sometimes that does work. Yep. The thing, though, is like if you traded for Justin Fields, like, do you really want to give up a second round pick for Justin Fields? No, not at all. And then you would have to sign him to a contract. Now, obviously, he's going to get paid way less than what Baker's looking for right now because Baker actually went out and did something and Justin Fields hasn't. So How much are you committing to Justin Fields where, you know, after two seasons, you might already have your answers about this guy isn't it and you want to move on.
Right.
So, like, yeah, you still would be saving money because you're not giving as big of a contract. But I don't know. That the whole thing with the Bears is so interesting because everybody knows they have to trade Justin Fields. They're not just going to keep him on the roster.
Right.
But I don't know what the Bears necessarily are going to get because everybody knows they got to get rid of Justin Fields. So
yeah, exactly.
Unless you're teams go, listen, we just want to make sure that we get him and you don't talk to anyone else.
Right.
We'll give you a second round pick. Yeah. I would sign up for that if I'm the Bears, but I don't think the Bucs should even consider that. Now, if the Bears say, you know what, just give us like a fifth round pick, then you have my attention a little bit for the Buccaneers.
No doubt. I mean, he's got some mobility for sure, right? I mean, he had an 1,100-yard rushing season 2 years ago, 8 touchdowns. And then last year, you know, only fell off to 657 yards, right? Averaging 5.3 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns on the ground. But you look at, can he win from the pocket? I think in this day and age, you still have to be able to win from the pocket. That doesn't mean that you have to be a pocket passer, but, I mean, even – Patrick Mahomes, who's got mobility for days, right? He makes so many plays outside of the pocket, but he also makes plenty of throws from the pocket.
Yeah.
And you look at a couple of things with Justin Fields, the 60.3 career percent completion percentage, that's not good. You'd like to have that closer to 65%. 40 career touchdowns passing, 30 career interceptions. You would love to have a 2-to-1 ratio, not a ratio that's getting close to neck and neck there. He did have 16 touchdowns last year and 9 interceptions. Is statistically a little bit better of a season there. But 10 wins and 28 losses, that's the big thing, is he's just been kind of prone to make some mistakes. So what all of this talk is, whether Russell Wilson or Trey Lance or Justin Fields, you know, the quarterbacks that I wrote about this morning that interviewed with the Buccaneers in the combine, Baker Mayfield's still the best option. Why? Because he did it last year. He's got the rapport with Mike. He's already established captain. This team loves him. He's a great locker room fit, and that's important. It's just, gosh, how much is it going to cost? Because where's the ceiling? That's the big question for this Buccaneer team.
Any number that starts with a 4 in negotiations, I think the Bucs have to be out.
Yeah.
I think 30 to 35, you handshake and you agree to it and you'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 36 to 39, though, is where it really, really, really gets dicey.
I mean, I don't blame the agent. Again, if you're just popping in the show here at the beginning of the show, we said, the agent's going to come in at 44. The Bucks came in at 25, right? That's a huge chasm. That's not a gap. That's a chasm between those two numbers. And the reason why it's so high and so low is because that eventual number is going to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And if you're Baker Mayfield and you want to make $35 million per year, you don't start at 35. You just don't. That's just not how you negotiate. If you're the Buccaneers and you don't mind paying, you know, 33, 32 million, you know, you don't start at 31 million, right? You start lower than that. So you have some room to wiggle, and both sides want to feel like that they've given a little bit. Right. Yeah. And that's what makes a deal more fair, is when you've given something up in negotiations and you've allowed the other side to win a little bit. That's how you get to the win-win. So when both people feel like they won, that's the ultimate deal right there.
And that's why there's that saying, meet me in the middle. That's essentially what these negotiations are. Thank you to Scott Federico for this $4.99 super chat, who says, happy birthday, Matt. Thank you very much, Scott. I was impressed with Fields' ability to pick out Shaq Barrett out of a crowd by the goal line in Tampa. That's vision. LOL. Great comment, Scott. Thanks again for the birthday wish. That's the big thing with Fields, is the amount that he turned it over. There was a stat I remember seeing like during the season, because remember, Justin Fields got hurt and missed some games, and I believe Tyson Badgett played and maybe another quarterback. But those quarterbacks didn't turn the ball over as much, and the Bears won a couple of those games because they didn't turn the ball over. Now, it's not always a direct comparison because if you're playing like a really bad team, you have a better chance of winning to begin with. Like, I think one of those wins came over the Raiders while their former coach was there before their current coach. Sorry, my head is all over the place right now. But anyway, so point being, turnovers was a big thing that obviously the Bucs had when Jameis Winston was there. It was a big part of their success when Tom Brady was around, outside of Brady being the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
And then Baker, a big deal of why he was so great last year was that touchdown to interception ratio.
Yes.
And everything that Dave Canales preached, that Liam Cohen will be.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Preaching as well. Taking care of the football. The Bucs have gone now 4 seasons without worrying about a quarterback throwing an interception every time that they drop back to pass. I don't think it's going to be any different regardless of if it's Baker with the Bucs next season or whoever is next. The Bucs can ill afford – I mean, this goes for any team. You can ill afford to have turnover after turnover after turnover.
Right.
And that's exactly what Justin Fields did.
That's
so that makes it even less of a reason to go out and try to get him.
Yeah, and it's like we talked about, like a 2-to-1 turnover to interception ratio is ideal. Baker was almost 3-to-1. He had 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I mean, that's Pro Bowl caliber stuff. The other thing that's worth mentioning too is Tom Brady at age 44, did not miss a single start, right? If you want to know why the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl and 3 straight NFC South titles, it's the quarterback play. As Dirk Cutter was famous for saying, the best ability is availability. Mm-hmm. And you look at Baker Mayfield last year. Sure, he was banged up. That Carolina game in Week 18 wasn't pretty, but when he got healthy against the Eagles, he was cooking.
He was.
Started all 17 games. The Buccaneers are the only team in the NFC South, and one of very, very few teams in the NFC, period, to have their starting quarterback go wire to wire for 4 straight seasons. And that has a huge role in why the Buccaneers have been to the playoffs 4 straight years. So he gets credit for that. I mean, he's a tough SOB.
He is.
And he will fight through injuries, whereas the Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, you know, these are quarterbacks that have been banged up. And, I mean, that Achilles injury is nobody's fault, right?
Right.
But that tends to happen more on guys that are on the other side of 30. Look at Shaq Barrett, right? I mean, young guys can happen too, but Terrell Suggs is another guy that came to mind when he hit 30 towards Achilles. So you've got 35-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off that Achilles injury. So he's still young, he'll be 29 in April, and durable, and that's an important trait.
That's a tremendous point you bring up, Scott, about just the stability that the Bucs have had at quarterback over the last 4 seasons. And yes, one of the best abilities is availability. And all this talk about availability is a great reminder that available right now are the Celsius Essentials. Make sure you check out the new line from Celsius Energy Drinks. The Blue Crush Celsius Essentials is awesome. The Dragonberry as well. It's 270 milligrams of caffeine. These are the tall boy cans of Celsius energy drink. So whether it's the new Celsius Essentials or some of the old school flavors like the sparkling orange, sparkling watermelon, strawberry lemonade, or the Arctic vibe, if you need to know where to find a Celsius energy drink, go to the store locator like we did when we were in Indianapolis. Punch in your address or location and it'll tell you the closest spot where you can pick up a Celsius. It might be your local Walmart or 7-Eleven, a health and fitness store, or if you're lucky enough, if you're in the right area, it could just be your bodega.
Bodega.
And once you keep going to your bodega, you know you love Celsius and you want to get more, but you don't want to make 1,000 trips to and from the store. Totally get you. Luckily, there is a solution. You could buy it in bulk, and I'd recommend getting that variety pack because there's so many awesome flavors of Celsius. Why limit yourself to just one? So get that variety pack by going over to Amazon. Click on the subscribe and save, and you can have Celsius sent right to your door at your place of residence whenever you want. You set up the timeline. All up to you because you're the captain. You're in charge now. Just make sure you're drinking Celsius energy drinks. Make Celsius your number one pick. Celsius, the official energy drink of the Pewter Report podcast. Guys, we have another great show coming up tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern time. And we are going to be talking about the Bucks' plans for Levante David. This is also going to be a Levante David appreciation podcast. We had one with Mike Evans last year. We're doing it again this year with Levante David because you, the Pewter people, you all know how important Levante David is to this franchise and what he's meant over the years. And there are some times that Levante gets overlooked, whether it's Pro Bowl snubs or all pro because of Bobby Wagner, whether it's free agency this year because Mike Evans and Baker Mayfield have been getting all of the headlines. But we do not want Levante David to go forgotten. So
that's right.
We're going to spend tomorrow's show talking about, obviously, his greatness, but what's the timeline for him coming to the Bucks? What the numbers may look like 1 year, 2 year, and we'll take a whole outlook of the defense as well. So that'll be on tomorrow's show. I'm very excited to get into it.
We are 30 subscribers away from hitting 13,400. Our stated goal, if you've been listening to our podcast, is to get to 14,000 YouTube subscribers by the draft. So we have some time, but time is ticking. Help us out. If you're listening to this podcast, make sure you go to Pewter Report TV and click on the subscribe button. It's free. It's all we ask you to do. Just hit the subscribe button. Help us get to 14,000. But the next milestone we want to get is 13,400. And we're 30 away. And we've got almost 1,000 people in the chat right now.
Yeah, great turnout today.
Great turnout today. We appreciate you guys a lot. Hopefully you're checking out PewterReport.com. We have up-to-the-minute updates and stories on Baker Mayfield, the Bucks plans at quarterback. Matt's got a great tight end story that's scheduled for tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, Bucks battle plans? That's right.
Yeah.
Starting tonight, 7 p.m., Josh Capo's Bucks battle plan hits. So make sure you check out PewterReport.com for that. If you don't know what Bucks battle plans are, they're a little long read, but it's also fun because each Pewter reporter, all five of us, get a stab at playing Jason Light. We get to decide who we're going to re-sign and for how much and which free agents we're going to sign and who we're going to trade and who we're going to cut and who we're going to draft. That's right. Every Pewter reporter does our own 7-round mock draft. We sign our own free agents. We make our own trades and each one of us has our own 53-man roster, the way too early roster, but a 53-man roster. So it's a really fun exercise, a little bit of a long-form read, but you can skim through it and kind of get the highlights. Really fun stuff. We have a good time doing it. Josh is set tonight at 7 o'clock in PewterReport.com. Mine will be out tomorrow afternoon-ish. Adam Slavon will have his on Friday. And then, Matt, are you Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday.
Okay. Bailey Adams is on Saturday. And then Matt Matera, the birthday boy, drops his on Sunday right before free agency. So make sure you check out PewterReport.com today, tomorrow.
Every day.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, into free agency next week. Every day, as Matt said.
Thank you to Kathy Gillespie for this $5 super chat, who says, agents, games with the media drives fans nuts. Hope Bakes' words at the end of the season about sacrifices being made were heartfelt. 2 years, $60 million with incentives. That is true. Sometimes agents will say certain things to the media to try to voice their opinion and not to get everybody out with their pitchforks and stuff to yell at the organization. But sometimes they want to put a little public pressure on.
Sure.
On the team that they're negotiating with. So that does happen from time to time.
Yeah. We saw that with Derek Gilmore, Mike's agent.
Yes.
When he put out his demands over the weekend as we were getting ready to wrap up our coverage from Indianapolis. We broke that story. It wouldn't break it, but we wrote it. And, all of a sudden, a deal got done. So
yeah,
sometimes these games, they have to be played deadlines, they're there for a reason, right? And sometimes deals go up to the deadline, and in the pressure of that deadline, that's when sometimes these deals come to fruition. So we'll see. There's still plenty of time. It'll be interesting to see, again, the three things Baker Mayfield. What is the average annual value? What is that average base salary going to be? Is it going to be 30 million, 32, 36? What's it going to be? Number two, what's the guaranteed money? How much money are the Buccaneers going to guarantee in that contract? If it doesn't work out long-term with Baker, that could be a key role when it comes to dead cap money and how long they have to hang on to him. And then number three, how long is the contract, right? Is it a 2 or 3 year deal? Or is this a thing where Baker says, I'll take less money, but I want more guaranteed money and I want a longer deal because I want to feel like I'm in my place and put some roots down in Tampa. Be interesting to see what happens.
Absolutely. And as we wind down the show, I want to leave Bucs fans with some peace of mind, because obviously the negotiations back and forth, you hear reports, Baker's talking to this team and that team, and everyone's interested in Baker. I will just say to everybody, let's remember Jason Light, Jackie Davidson, Mike Greenberg. They have done a great job in the past, including the Mike Evans negotiations.
Yep.
A couple of days ago, they have done a great job with, hey, it looks like a tough situation. It looks dicey. And one way or another, they figure it out. You can pinpoint this all the way back to the 2021 offseason, or I guess 2020 offseason, going into the 2021 season. They did it last offseason. They did it the year before that. And they've already done it with Mike Evans, and at least assuring that Antoine Winfield Jr. will be back with the Bucs next season. So if I was going to put money on it, when people come up to me and they say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I still believe that the odds-on favorite for Baker Mayfield is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I agree.
Yes, we will hear other reports. Yes, more news will come out. But stay strong, stay patient, and just believe in the Bucs brass that you see on the screen right there. Because most of the time, they get it done, and I see no reason why this situation would be different.
I agree. One last thing here from Gary Buff. What's going on with Wirfs? Well, the good news is Tristan Wirfs is under contract this year because he has had his fifth-year option picked up. So he is technically a Buccaneer this year. They can let him play that deal out as they did Devin White last year, or as they did with Vita Vea, they can pick up that fifth-year option and then negotiate a long-term deal even before he gets to play this season and have a deal done. But you know what? The great thing is he's already accounted for it on the roster this year with that fifth-year option getting picked up. They don't have to worry about him right now. They have more pressing deals to get done. We're talking about Baker Mayfield, Lavonte David, Chase McLaughlin, and they'll negotiate a long-term deal as well with Antoine Winfield Jr. before July. But they'll also do that, I think, before training camp too, Matt, with Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, obviously they want Tristan around for the entirety of his career. That's not something I'm even worried about in the slightest. And, you know, Tristan Wirfs is the most easygoing guy off the field that I can't even imagine there being the slightest discourse between Tristan Wirfs and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, we've already seen some an influx of people subscribing to Peter Report TV. Yes. Help us out. Keep that going. Hit that subscribe button on Peter Report TV. And help us get to 13,400 here by the weekend. That would be awesome.
Please do. That would be fantastic. If you're not already doing so, please follow us on all of our social media on Twitter, now known as X, Instagram, and Facebook. We are at Peter Report, and our YouTube channel is Peter Report TV. We have the podcast 4 times per week. We got various videos from in season, from the combine, really all year round, different clips, opinions, thought pieces. Tons and tons of content over on our YouTube channel, so please subscribe to Peter Report TV. And tomorrow's show, again, the Bucs plans for Lavonte David. We're talking all about number 54 tomorrow, probably a little bit of 45 as well, but a lot of the focus on Lavonte David, so that's going to be great for tomorrow's show. One more reminder, please like and subscribe and leave a comment on our YouTube channel after this video is done. You guys have been great with that, so thank you so much, and we encourage you to keep doing so. All right, that's going to do it for us on today's show. For Scott Reynolds, I'm Matt Matera saying thanks everybody for watching. Thanks for all the birthday well wishes. And we will see you tomorrow for another edition of the Pewter Report podcast. Out.
Out.